For me, this is really exciting because God had us in a place where we're studying the book of Philippians, really pray about where we ought to go next. And we happen to be in chapter 2 at this particular time, which is very strategic because it's Christmas from heaven's point of view. And Stacy sent me this script called Heaven's Point of View or from the View from Heaven. I'm going, this is just incredible. So you guys perfectly told what I told the congregation last week in the book of Philippians, and a lot of you weren't even here. You were in children's church. But we started by looking about how Christmas is God's gift to humanity, and really it becomes an example of service in a way, but there's something that was accomplished that was so profound, because last week we looked about how Jesus Christ, who is God, he is infinite, confined himself with a body, confined himself to space, actually chose not to use some of the privileges and the prerogatives that are his. In heaven, he was gloriously praised all of the time. That was not the case on earth. And we looked at how he laid aside these privileges, concealed his glory with flesh for the purpose of coming to this world, perfectly obeying God's word, the written word. And at the end of it all, he allowed himself to be crucified in the most cruel, hideous way, in a way that was cursed, so that he could be offered as a substitute for all the sin that we have done. That if we believe that he paid the price in full, we could be forgiven freely, fully, and unconditionally if we believe with our heart. And it says that because Jesus did that, the Father is going to exalt him, giving him a name that is above all names. And in Philippians 2, verses 9 through 11, he says, therefore God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him a name that is above every name, so that the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father, of God the Father. Yeah, this is an exciting moment that is yet in the future. So far, everything that Paul had talked about was past tense. Jesus took on flesh. Jesus made himself of no reputation. Jesus became a servant. Jesus lived a life of obedience to the Father. Jesus died from the cross and was risen again. All of that was past tense. But there is a moment coming where he says that the Father is going to basically display or exalt this Christ who did all of this sacrifice on our behalf. And here's the thing that just absolutely overwhelms me. Every living creature with the ability to speak in this moment is going to agree on one thing. Would you agree with me that we live in polarizing times? I mean, there is not one issue on which we all agree. And we could start from the most insignificant of decisions, like creamy or chunky peanut butter. And we disagree on that, to some of the most pressing issues of the day, where we are almost at each other's throats because of some of these issues. And yet there is a moment coming where every speaking person is going to agree on a truth. And they are going to declare the worth of Christ. Notice that when this moment of declaration comes, it will be all-consuming. It says that every knee is going to bow. And this is a posture that reflects an understanding that Jesus Christ is Lord of all. And it's not something that is put on. I mean, you can bow for prayer because that's the tradition or something like that. Or you can bow because your heart is broken before God. This is a moment where everyone, they will be so consumed with the reality that Jesus Christ is Lord that they will be on the ground. Notice that it is not only consuming in that regard, but it's comprehensive, every tongue. And Paul mentions that every one who is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth. That's a lot. So when we're talking about those in heaven, I think what we're talking about are two things. Number one are the angels. And those who know Jesus Christ as Savior, who are already in heaven with him. every tongue in heaven is going to confess that. When we talk about on the earth, I think we're talking about all those who are living on the earth at the moment when this comes, including the demonic world, because anything that can communicate is going to communicate that Jesus Christ is Lord. Things under the earth, well, those who have been dead are going to confess this too. You see, we need to understand something. Grave is not the end. It doesn't stop when we die. There is an eternal soul that is going to live on somewhere. And every soul that is departed is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. But having said that, we're not always all going to be saying it for the same reason and with the same outcome. When I was a kid, I grew up on sports. Saturday was football. It was Wide World of Sports and all these things. And I remember this ad from my childhood that was so common. It was for Fram Auto Parts. And their thing was, you might spend more money on our parts, but it's worth it. And there was this tagline where the guy says, listen, it was a mechanic talking to the camera. He goes, you can pay me now or you can pay me later. But the inference was, you are going to pay for your decision, whatever that is. Guys, you can confess this now, or you can confess it later, but I can guarantee you this, there is a day coming when every tongue, including yours and mine, will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Now, for some, really quickly, there are a couple of places where this could happen. One is when Jesus Christ returns as the conquering king. I tend to think that it's probably going to be a little bit later when he judges all the living and the dead from all times at the great white throne. One or the other. But there will be some that confess this out of the joy of celebration because it has been their confession in this world. In other words, those who believe that Jesus Christ died for their sins, that he rose again, that he's the only way that we can be forgiven, that he alone could satisfy God because we never could, God the Father, because we never could. And we are covered by his grace and his mercy because he offered himself as our substitute to satisfy the wrath of God. We came to terms with the fact that we had sinned, that we could never measure up to God's standard. We repented. We'd done the wrong thing. Our hearts were broken, and we believe that Jesus Christ did obey God the Father, and we accept his life and his death as a substitution for our guilt. And we celebrate the fact that Jesus Christ is Lord every day. And we will do that throughout eternity. And those that confess Jesus Christ as Lord right now, because they believe it with all of their heart, will make this confession for an eternity in joy. There's going to be another group that are making this confession, and it's a statement of the fact that they are condemned because they rejected this truth all of their life. And they will enter into an everlasting torment in hell. It is that simple. Talking with a gentleman who was on a jury once, and they were trying to decide the outcome of a young man who had been caught breaking into a car. The owner held him at gunpoint until the police arrived, and now it was the trial, and he's on the witness stand. And his defense attorney says, now, Billy, I just made up a name. Sorry, I know we've got a Billy or two in here. He says, did you steal anything from that car? And he says, no, I looked, but there was nothing worth taking. And on the stand, he pronounced his guilt. And it made the job of the jury very, very easy. Do you realize that in eternity, everyone who has rejected Christ in this life is going to pronounce their guilt and declare that Jesus Christ is Lord? And rather than being that cry of celebration that will be an eternity of celebration with God, it will be a cry of their own condemnation. Why didn't I come to terms with this on this earth, or on that earth? And it will be what condemns, that confession will be an admission of their guilt for which they are condemned for an eternity of suffering. But make no mistake, there is a day coming when you will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So here's my question. Will you believe it now so it can be a cry of joy? Will you admit that you have done things that are wrong, and that's what sin is? Anything we have thought, said, done, or wanted that is not worthy of God. Any lie, any bad attitude, any cursing, all of that. There's a list that's too long to mention here, but you get the idea. Anything that we do that God says not to do, that is sin, and we are all guilty. We all deserve hell. And yet God in His grace authored a way by which we could be forgiven. Jesus Christ was humiliated in a sense. He covered His glory. He lived that life. He died for our sins. He rose again. And He offers His forgiveness today if we believe that He paid the price in full for our guilt. The Bible says, and I'm going to read from Romans. I'm going to turn the right direction. Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 10. I've been telling you, I've been praying for this day. One thing I didn't think about was praying about last night. My phone was buzzing all night long. But Paul says this. I'm going to start in verse 8. But what does it say, referring to Scripture? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For Scripture says, everyone who believes in Him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, but the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing His riches on all who call on Him. For everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. If we believe with our heart, if we call out on the Lord, He forgives. Right here, right now. I'm not going to do the prayer thing because there's no one prayer that saves you. But the Bible's very clear that if we believe that Jesus died for our sins, we will express that to Him in some way. And I want to encourage you to express to the Lord the fact that you know that you stand guilty before Him. That you know you deserve to be punished, but you believe that He loves you enough to pay the price for your sin. And He did that by Jesus coming to this world, dying for your sins and rising again. You believe that He's coming back. Because if you make that confession, one of the things that's clear, if you make it from the heart, the Bible says you are in for a life change the likes of which I can never describe. But your whole value system changes. You want to know why there's so much hostility right now? It's because there are people who are walking, living for themselves, and there are people that are living for the glory of God, and there will always be conflict as long as people are living for themselves. God changes attitudes. He changes actions. He changes your desires. All of a sudden, you'll find yourself saying, you know, I'd like to learn more about this Bible. I need to be more with God's people. And these aren't things you do for salvation. I just want you to know that if you really believe this, if you really mean this, you are in for a complete revolution of the heart. God will change you from the inside out if you believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins. And here's the great thing. One day, when Jesus Christ is lifted up, you will glorify Him and you will be praising Him for being Lord. If you believe now that He died for your sins. You'll get to praise Him for an eternity. And you will glorify Him, which brings glory to the Father. Because the Father and the Son are equal. So this morning, I just want to ask you, do you know whether or not you would go to heaven if you died? Because if you don't, I want to talk more to you about what Jesus did so you could be forgiven. So you could know without a doubt that you're going to heaven. There's nothing you can do. Jesus did it all for you. You just need to learn what God's Word says about you and believe it with your heart. Father, I thank you for the day that you've given to us. I thank you for these kids. They are such a blessing. And I'm so encouraged by each and every one of them. And Lord, as we think about the precious truths that they communicated, I pray that you will use that in this word from Philippians to underscore the importance of confessing Jesus Christ as Savior now. This is the inescapable conviction to which everyone will arrive. Lord, we pray that your word would penetrate hearts today so that that can be a cry of joy rather than a cry of condemnation. One of many declarations that Jesus Christ is Lord. Lord, we thank you for these kids, and we pray that they would grow up to love you and they would maintain that love. And Lord, I pray for their parents, and I ask that they would continually shepherd them so that their love for you, that they and the joy that they showed this morning would be a lifelong desire and pursuit for them. And Father, we ask that you would touch all of our hearts with the importance of glorifying you in this day, so that we might glorify you for an eternity. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.